Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody is having an absolutely fantastic day today. And I have good news for people that like justice and law and order. It has now been released that Jesse Smollett, the individual who faked the race hoax, remember last year, and he was basically, all the charges were dropped all of a sudden, big shady backdoor deal. A grand jury in Chicago has now indicted him on 6 counts of disorderly conduct. And apparently the prosecutor's moving forward on this. Apparently there's a group of individuals in Chicago that did not take too kindly to what he did and the entire shady backdoor deal that he got to basically get off of everything that he did was literally nothing. I thought that was interesting, that when I saw this morning.
Well, you know, Austin, I like when things like that happen because it lets us know that there is some justice somewhere. I mean, this guy faked that they tried to hang him. They put a noose around his neck. And rather than removing the noose around his neck, he like goes to his hotel room and walks around the street with the noose on his neck. Somebody could see the noose on his neck that he had hired somebody else to put on his neck. I mean, this thing is, you can't even make this stuff up. And of course, they basically, you know, exonerated him. He almost started a race war. And, you know, it's like he's going to be lynched. And then they find out that he basically hired people to do it. I mean, in fact, that he didn't go to jail for that is amazing. By the way, I've got additional good news. And it says, this is a quote. It says, "This is horrendous. We're all scared. Joe Biden, creepy Joe, pervert Joe Biden, advisor, admits the campaign is in meltdown after he collapses a fifth place in New Hampshire. And he flees to South Carolina to save his firewall." So, I mean, if there's ever been a bigger creep in presidential politics, I don't know of one. I mean, I'd rather look at the gay Kenyan than I would Joe Biden. At least the gay Kenyan is a gay Kenyan. This guy's like a weirdo groper. He gropes little children and gropes women. I mean, never mind.
In public.
In public. He needs to stop. I mean, it's not like I'm making this stuff up. And the nuttiest part about it all, Austin, is the guy doesn't learn. He continues to grope. He's still groping. And then he called a girl the other day who asked him a simple question, a dog-faced pony soldier. And he's unbelievably humiliated her in front of an entire group. And, of course, it made national news, and he just thinks he can say whatever he wants to say. So the man either has senile dementia, Alzheimer's disease, or he's had too many facelifts. And there we go. And let's talk about that for a second. I mean, he's tighter than a doggone snare drum as far as the skin on his face. And he's almost 80 years old, and pretty much when you get under anesthesia, a whole bunch of that sodium pentothal, you start losing brain cells. It looks like he had more cosmetic surgery than Cher. So it's one of those deals. Something's going on with the guy's brain, and I am so glad to see his campaign crash and burn, just so I don't have to look at him anymore. He's such a weirdo and such a creep, boss. So what do you think?
No, he is. I mean, it's bad enough that we see a lot of these perverts and pedophiles around the entire political arena. And, you know, we hear about the stuff that they're involved in. We saw that with Jeffrey Epstein. But to see some of those videos with Joe Biden and, you know, when they're taking photos and people are bringing their kids and their little girls. And, I mean, it's just weird. You don't even want to watch it. It's just disgusting. So, yeah, it's definitely something to... I'm glad. Hopefully, his campaign completely collapses. Just from the fact, too, like you said, we don't need him anywhere near the White House. Also, too, in other news, this is interesting. Belgian court now has dropped prison time for 2 African males that were found guilty in a string of violent armed robberies, instead issuing fines and sentencing them to community service. The perpetrators, 18 and 19-year-old African males that basically came here illegally to Belgium, I should say, embarked on a crime spree in September and October, stealing cash, electronics, and food while armed with large knives and machetes. In one of the incidents, a pregnant woman managing a candy shop was forced to turn over 200 euros to the men as they threatened her with machetes. Subsequently, they attacked an employee at a mobile phone store. The list goes on and on and on and on and on. I mean, it's just, I'm like reading the list of all these places they robbed, and it boggled my mind. And then they went in now, and the court has come in and said, you know, these guys weren't, they didn't really understand what they were doing. We can't basically throw them in jail for this. We need to basically cut, we're giving them basically a 1,000 euro fine, and they have to go do community service now and pay back the community for what they did instead of basically going to prison for 26 months. The political correct nature of what Europe has done and is continuing to do is the same mantra that they're trying to force in the United States now. They want to make it so that individuals have no accountability, especially individuals that basically fit the narrative. So they can come in and say, listen, these guys were troubled teenagers. They came in from a different country. They didn't know any better. It's not, I mean, I understand they robbed like 10 different places and stole tens of thousands of dollars and different things and threatened to kill people with machetes, but you gotta understand, it's not their fault. You can't hold them accountable for that. This is the communist mantra where you allow individuals and criminals to run rampant, and then law-abiding citizens, you try to basically penalize them, restrict them, and jail them, simply like what we see happening now in Virginia, where law-abiding citizens are now being threatened with felony charges for simple possession of magazines and suppressors, which are all legal to own, and they're getting ready to pass this bill. So it's interesting to see the double standard continually going forward like this, Dad, in Europe, and how we can already see with pretty much facts, this is the template that they're trying to push here in the United States with their politically correct agenda.
Well, they're trying to force civil war. I mean, they're trying to do everything they can. You know, the New York Times, he's putting out this absolute white-hating, race-hating mess about plantation owners in Virginia and plantation owners in the United States and how they had black slaves. And everybody forgets about the indentured servitude of millions of white people coming into the United States basically as slaves, many of them actually as slaves. It wasn't just black folks that were slaves. It was a horrible time in America's history from slavery all the way around because it was a new country being formed and people needed labor and they couldn't get labor. And so they basically were buying labor or paying people to come to the United States. They were becoming indentured servants for 7 years to get their ship crossing covered to get to the United States because they were so oppressed in Europe. They were doing anything, including themselves, selling themselves into slavery for 7 years in order to get away from Europe. And that's the biggest problem that we have. Nobody wants to talk about the fact that in Africa that there were kings that were basically selling their own people because they had too many slaves. And it's just a giant mess. And now it's all white people, white people, white people, white people. And it never, ever ends. And this is sad. This is sad because it's a complete and total rewriting of history. Just like they've rewritten the American Civil War, just like they've rewritten World War I, World War II, Vietnam, you know, the Bay of Tonka. All of this stuff has been rewritten. 9/11, it'll all be rewritten. Because they don't want us to remember the truth of who was involved in this. That would be the same guys that always do everything. And this is what we have to understand. The same guys who took down Building 7. This goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 6. The same guys. It's the same group. They don't want us to see the correlations. They constantly change and rewrite history. Now let's go back to the coronavirus for a second. It seems to be getting worse. And I mean, it's just getting worse. Now the article in Daily Mail is, coronavirus could kill 45 million people and infect 60% of the global population if it cannot be controlled. This is a top Hong Kong medical official. Professor Gabriel Leung has said authorities need to establish the spread of the virus. A 1% death rate would result in hundreds of thousands of deaths. There are 43,000 cases worldwide so far, with more than 42,000 in China. But if it reaches its potential, each infected person can give the virus to 2.5 other people on the average, sickening up to 60% of the world's population. China's number of daily new cases seems to have leveled off, but we cannot get accurate information out of China, so we don't know what in the world is going on over there. Another top scientist in China is saying that the actual infection rate is 5%. This is what they're admitting to. Some are saying it's almost up to 20%, 18% or so. And so another article says that the killer coronavirus outbreak is just getting started outside of China and will strike every country on the planet, warns an infectious disease expert. Dale Fisher, a WHO official, said he's confident every country will have infections. Well, I'm glad he's got such a good attitude. Everybody's going to get it, I guess. It's awful. I'm being facetious, obviously. Chinese health bosses claim disease may be completely gone in China by April. We all believe that. Mr. Fisher says that's possible, but the outbreak is just beginning in other nations. Flu-like viruses has killed more than 1,100 people and affected nearly 46,000. And so, you know, here's the thing. You know, are we believing this? Are we believing it's going away in China? I don't. My friend who's in China says it's getting much, much, much worse there. In fact, Zero Head reports this is the calm before the storm. You know, how the coronavirus really impact the markets. And he's saying that, you know, he says peak prosperity, Adam Taggart says the officials, the media, and the globalist-driven organizations are downplaying the coronavirus risk. Even his model suggested infections rates will soon soar. This sudden slowdown and new information coming out of China has people spooked. He walks us through the math here, showing us the coronavirus in its current geometric growth. Over 100 million people could be infected by the end of February. This is the real kind of deal. This is a real black swan event. Now, let me tell you what just happened to me this morning. Last summer, we were supposed to go to Europe. We had our airline tickets for free through American Airlines on points, and we're going to stay in a couple of bed and breakfasts in Europe. And what happened is American Airlines, and their incredible stupidity, they canceled the doggone flights. The whole trip got canceled. So we had to cancel. We were in the cancellation period of canceling bed and breakfasts over there in France. And what happened this morning, I got a credit for $1.80 on my charge card from the doggone thing last summer for this silly, you know, thing that was canceled back in August. Now, and that's not the point I'm telling you this, okay? Here's the point. I called American Express up to say, what the heck's going on? Why are these guys messing with my charge card? And then I started talking to the lady, and I said, are you getting cancellations on cruise ships? Are you getting cancellations on air flights? Are you getting cancellations in hotels and travel? She goes, it's unprecedented. She says, you cannot believe how many cancellations we've already had. Now, guys, think about that for a second. This thing is affecting tourism and commerce because of hotel stays and airfare into one of the largest countries in the world. That would be China. In addition to that, because of what's happened on that cruise ship now with close to 200 people being infected and it being basically a plague ship, people are canceling cruises left and right. And the cruise industry is bloated because they've for years built more and more and more and more and more and more ships. And now the Holland America ship, which is owned by Carnival, has been denied like ports of call. Like nobody wants it even in their port. They won't even allow it to unload. It's like five ports that I've told it to hit the road. Don't go. Don't look home. Get out. And you know, this is crazy because the Holland America ship owned by Carnival is the one that we were on back up 7-8 years ago, in which the norovirus was released or had got on there or whatever, and it was nasty. And let me tell you something about this. I'll never forget. We were up in the Lido deck, and there were plates all over the tables that people had eaten and just left their plates, and nobody was cleaning them up. I mean, you literally are having to sit down at tables with old utensils, utilities, you have plates, you have glasses, and that's just nasty because if somebody's got a disease or they're sick, all that disease stuff is left on the table. And see, this is the problem when you get stuck into a small group like this on a cruise ship. You know, and that's the biggest reason that I have never gone on another cruise after that happened to me with the norovirus, with projectile vomiting. And that stuff was recoverable. You know, when you have these viruses like we talked about yesterday and that antibiotics don't work and the body's own immune system has to fight them off, you better have a strong immune system. And guys, it's going to start affecting the markets everywhere. And the only reason that we haven't seen massive drops in the doggone markets are because China is flooding. It's the central bank of China is flooding the markets with currency, buying up their stocks, and the same thing's happening still here in the United States. And once that stops, and they stop doing all of that repo loan stuff at night, this thing's going to come down like a house of cards, and it's going to come down quick. Just thought I'd give you guys a heads up. What do you think, Austin?
No, that's what I've been saying. I had a conversation with a buddy of mine last night on the phone, and who's out west towards Montana, and we were talking about a little bit of that stuff, and he said, you know, exactly what I've been saying. He goes, there's a high probability that even if we don't have a serious viral issue in the United States, that we're about to have some unprecedented shortages on everything, because when it's all said and done, China's got their hand in our basically our cooking pot, for everything. I mean, you know, we'll go and manufacture iron ore and steel and stuff in the United States, and we'll pull it out. We'll ship it to China to have it processed and then ship it back over here. I mean, that's how insanely cheap the work is over there. And so I've been telling everyone, he said the same thing last night. He goes, I think we're about to see a massive spike in everything in the commodity market and basically the food market and essentially the everything market. And there's an article that came out a couple days ago by a group of economic experts, Chris Matterson and also another one, Fitzgerald, and they came in and said that there's a frightening pattern unlike anything they've seen before right now in the entire global economy, much less the U.S. economy. And they're saying that it's likely that we could have a full-blown another 2008 on steroid collapse before the November elections in the U.S. if it keeps it up. One of the members of the team, Chris Martinson, said, he goes, we found an identical pattern in our debt, total credit market, and money supply that guarantees it's going to fail very soon. He says the pattern is nearly the same as in any pyramid scheme, one that escalates exponentially fast right before it collapses, and governments out around the globe are chiefly responsible and not giving any warning. And he goes, what's really disturbing about these findings is the pattern isn't limited to just our economy. We found the same catastrophic pattern in our energy, food, and water systems as well. For 30 years, from 1940 through the 1970s, our total credit market debt was moderate and entirely reasonable. He goes, but in 7 years, from 1970 to 1977, it doubled. Then it doubled again in seven more years. Then 5 years, it doubled. And then a third time, it doubled. And then it doubled two more times after that. He goes, it's a pattern that's hard to see unless you understand the way a catastrophe works while it gains traction. At first, it's almost impossible to perceive. Everything looks fine, just like in every pyramid scheme, yet the insidious growth of the virus keeps doubling in size over and over and over again in shorter periods of time until it hits an unsustainable level, and that's when you have a full-blown market collapse. So that's what I've been saying to everybody, and I'm sure it's about, it's just warming up, Dad, as far as with people going on vacation. Because I know, you know, Lana and I are talking, we had a trip out west in November for, you know, SEMA out there for the big auto convention. You know, I haven't canceled anything because it's still so far out of November, but we're already discussing whether or not we're even going to go to that, depending on what happens with this entire economy, what happens with the markets. Because, I mean, there's no doubt about it. There's something really, really, really big about to happen with the entire economy. And what we're seeing with this boat, you know, and that's what my buddy told me last night. He goes, everybody needs to be watching this Diamond Princess cruise ship right now if you want to get a clear-cut example of what's happening. They have, what, I think 175 infected people on the boat now, jumped up another 39 overnight. I mean, every day, yeah. I mean, so it's like this right now is showing you real quick what happens when you have a small controlled group and they're exposed to this stuff and how quickly everybody's getting it. This is the real numbers of what's really going on. This, I mean, don't get me wrong, I feel really bad for everybody on this cruise ship. To me, that'd be like a giant nightmare to be quarantined on a cruise ship with a bunch of sick people. I mean, that's horrible. But this is a true, basically real-life research study of what's going to happen with this virus if it's not contained and it basically is allowed to spread in an area like this with all these people basically catching it one after another. I mean, then there's another cruise ship right now, the Western Dam, that basically can't, it's been turned down by five ports of call now because apparently some people have gotten sick on it, and all these people, all these ports are saying, we don't want you here. We basically don't want you porting here. Go to the next one. And they go to the next one and go to the next one, and they're basically about to have to declare a state of emergency on their ship and invoke a level of emergency, which at that point, because of maritime law, somebody's going to have to allow that ship to dock. And this is happening like globally now. I mean, if this starts to spiral like it's doing, the cruise line market, the cruise ship market, it's going to plummet. I mean, it's going to literally go down the pipe because people aren't even going to be on these ships. They're going to be floating around empty. They're not going to have any, nobody's going to go on them. I don't know anybody that wants to go on a cruise ship right now. I mean, I'm sure you can get them super, super cheap. I mean, you probably get a cruise ship dirt cheap right now, Dad.
especially the Diamond Princess on its next sailing. It's you just might take that boat out somewhere and scuttle it, or change the name on it and refurbish it. I mean, I'm not laughing at these guys. Okay, I'm going to get a letter. You're laughing at the people. No, I'm not. Okay, I've been on a ship like that, but one with coronavirus and it's sick. And again, Holland America. I'm sure they'll do like they did with us. You know, you got projectile vomiting in the hallways, got all these sick people, you don't have enough staff, all the dishes are dirty, you got hair in the food. I ran into all this the last time I was on the ship. I ended up losing 7 pounds on the trip because I couldn't eat the food because I got tired of looking for hair. This is not a joke. And they did offer us a refund. They told us that they would give us $100 credit towards the next cruise that we booked with them. So I'm sure they're going to go ahead and do the same thing. They'll give everybody $100 credit for missing every port of call on the next cruise they book with them. That's how greedy the cruise ships are. And if you ever get on a cruise ship, you're going to find out. You better bring a water pitcher with you, because you're not going to get bottled water unless you're paying like $5 a little glass for it. Or you need to bring some type of filtration system with you so you can basically clean your own water in your room. Or you need to drag a bunch of water on board with you. Now, the fluoride is not put into the water in a cruise ship, and chlorine is put into the water. So all you need is a charcoal filter that'll take chlorine out, and you got pretty good drinking water on a ship because it's distilled. Because they make their own water, you know, on the ships from the salt water. By the way, the Antichrist UK court is now saying that the Bible is incompatible with human dignity. Now, I don't even know where these people come off saying stuff like this. In another sign that Britain has officially entered a post-Christian age of barbarism, a judge in the United Kingdom has ruled that belief in the Bible is incompatible with human dignity. I guess it must be probably a gay transgender judge. And you think I'm joking? Let's read on. In reality, the only reason that human dignity exists is that God, the author of the Bible, made man in his image. This is true. Without God, there can be no inherent value to human life at all. That's absolutely true. Then they say, everybody thinks we're an animal, and that we came from a rock, and we basically evolved from the slime. So why would you have any kind of respect for human dignity if you came from a rock and evolved from the slime? Bible tells us different. The crazy case in the UK involved a self-proclaimed transgender... did I call it? The crazy case in the UK involved a self-proclaimed transgender man who wanted his doctor to refer to using objectively incorrect pronouns of the opposite sex. Citing Genesis 1:27, though, which states the fact that God created man and female, Dr. David Mackerth refused to play along with the delusion. Of course, Romans 1 makes it clear that certain truths, the fact that God exists, for instance, are obvious even without the Bible and divine revelation. The fact that there are men and women is another one of the facts. Nobody needs a Bible to realize that God created male and female. Guys, here's the thing. If you don't believe there's a difference between a man and a woman, you're delusional, period, all right? Indeed, every strand of DNA testifies to this truth. In the court filings with the Unemployment Tribunal, Dr. Mackerer said that he holds to the principles of the greatest reformation of the 16th century, including a commitment to the supremacy of the Bible as infallible, inherent word of God, as his final authority in all matters of faith and practice. God's a Christian. As such, the good doctor argued that authorities discriminated against him and his religious beliefs. However, the court ruled that belief in Genesis 1:27, lack of belief in transgenderism, and conscientious objection to transgenderism is, in our judgment, are incompatible with human dignity. What? The court also claimed that adhering to the belief in the Bible would conflict with the fundamental rights of others, specifically here transgender individuals who are really like isomorphic disorder weirdos, and so unable to play along with the patient's dangerous and objective false delusion. Mackerth lost his job at the Department for Work and Pensions because he didn't want to play along with this guy and call him his dedicated pronouns. The Christian Legal Center, which represented Mackerth in this legal case, warned that the ruling against the Bible and Christians would have serious ramifications for Christian professionals and all others. The judgment dictates the language that professionals must use in the workplace. The center said, adding that the ruling contradicts scientific reality and will undermine freedom of speech. Guys, are you understanding what's happening here? You're now losing your positions and being fired from jobs as professionals simply because you don't want to call a man a woman or a woman a man. You know, Torben watched in horror as he saw himself depicted on national TV as a liar and as an abuser of children and the mentally unstable through healings and so-called exorcisms. And this is another guy they're talking about. And, you know, guys, this is just unbelievable to me that we're in the middle of this in the United States, in the world. Again, this is all Frankfurt School ideology to turn everything upside down, to invert everything. You know, this is what they want to do, because the more conflict and the more problems they can cause, 2 + 2 = 5, the more they can do this and cause these problems and these delusions, the more chaos they're going to create. And the more chaos they can create, it'll bring them and push them closer to their new world order, Austin. So this is the whole goal here, is to bring in that Antichrist, that demon from hell, and basically rule the planet. And why Christians believe they're going to get raptured and stand up in the heavenly grandstands and applaud and watch this, the big sideshow go on down here. This is a mess. And now we're seeing professionals losing their jobs. What's the guy going to do next? The guy's going to come in and say, I'm not a guy to damn a sponge. You have to refer to me as Mr. Sponge. You know, and I like to be Mr. Sponge Squarepants or whatever. And you're going to go, okay, Mr. Sponge, I'm glad you're here today. Thank you. It's nice being Mr. Sponge. Oh, I changed my mind. I'm Mr. Walrus now. You need to refer to me as Mr. Walrus. Okay, Mr. Walrus, I'm glad you're here. Here are the proper pronouns as you're referring to me as Mr. Walrus. Are you kidding me? And this is where it's going? And then you're going to lose your job if you don't play along with a delusional person? This is some crazy stuff, Austin. What do you think, bud?
That's really well said. I mean, it's not funny as in comical. It's funny as in almost just ironic that this is even a conversation that we're having now. I mean, if you told everybody back 20 years ago that we were going to have conversations about legitimately being forced to call people by their preferred pronoun because they want to identify as a pixie or as a fairy or as a walrus or as any of this stupid stuff that we're talking about, you'd start laughing at them. You'd start hysterically laughing at them. You wouldn't do this. That's not even legitimate. We'll never go like that. We'll never talk like that. Yet here we are in 2020, this conversation's going on, and we have professionals being fired for not going along with the lunatic ramblings of a person that basically is confused and wants to be a cross-dresser. Just call it what it is. You're a dude that wants to be a cross-dresser, and if that's what you want to do,
true.
You want to be a guy, and you want to dress up like a girl, and you want to put on heels and prance around and be a pervert and be a cross-dresser, by all means, go do it. I really don't care. If you want to walk around your house dressed up like a cross-dresser, go do it. It's a free country. But you best believe, don't you darn well come in and tell me that I have to address you as a female or as a sponge, as Dad refers to, or any of your lunatic ramblings, and say if I don't do it, I'm basically going to be forced to do it or I'm going to be reprimanded. No. No, 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 no. Because here's the problem I have with this. And this is the issue that I have. It contradicts the entire aspect of that. They say, this is what you have to call me. This is what I prefer. This is what I want you to do. This is what I demand. But then I come back and say, no, this is what I want you to do. This is what I demand. And this is what I want to see. No, 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 no. My opinion's more important than yours. Ah, here we go. This is what it comes down to now. My opinion is more important than yours. What I want is more important than what you want, and I have the right to force you to do what I want because it's my right to force you to capitulate to me. That's what this all boils down to, guys. It's about stripping you of your rights. It's about stripping you of your godly principles. It's about stripping you of having the ability to consent. That is what this whole thing comes down to with the communist agenda and coming in and basically saying, it doesn't matter what you want to do. It doesn't matter what right you have. My right trumps your right because I say it does. This is where it's headed, because that way, if you can push that and indoctrinate the younger children into believing that, Then at the end of the day, it comes down to the state owns you. The state tells you what to do. The state controls you. You submit and consent to the state because the state's rights are more important than your rights. That's what this whole thing comes down to, guys. It's about removing your ability of free speech, your ability to do things as far as with constitutional law, your ability to speak your mind freely, your ability to speak the truth, because that's what we're seeing this pattern is here. It's going in and restricting people to even talk about the Bible or talk about the truth or even talk freely about what they prefer, what they don't prefer, because somebody else says they can't do it. And this is a very, very slippery slope, and it's happened here in the United States, and that's why, again, and I kick this dead horse almost every show, we cannot allow ourselves to succumb to the political correct culture that is demanding that we do in this country right now, because we're only short years away from doing this in the UK, or being the UK. We're only a few short years away, guys. If we keep doing this, they'll start doing it here. You'll start having doctors and practitioners that lose their license, basically fired, because they don't call a cross-dressing pervert a girl. That's where we're headed there next. They're already doing the UK. Remember, Europe's always about 5 to 10 years ahead of where we are with most stuff, as far as on the communist progressive end of it. That's what we're seeing here. Another example, too, we have with Apple. You guys saw this yesterday. New commercial for the Apple iPad Pro literally shows a man being erased in a photograph, prompting complaints all over Twitter. The 15-second commercial demonstrates the ability of the Apple Pencil to edit out someone from a holiday photo. The implication is clear in the ad that the woman is removing her ex from the image with the words "perfecting your memories." Big fan of Apple now, basically, as they're trashing men again, tweeted Stephen Alessa. Many people question why so many other ways to demonstrate the use of the Apple Pencil, the company chose to do so in such a blatantly divisive way. We're just curious about one thing, asked Sarani Murney. Who was the target market for this ad? And if women were, would anyone actually buy the iPad Pencil just for the possibility of erasing your ex from a photo? Given the fact that there are so many other options you could use this pretty cool option with, so many different ways you could show this being done, but yet you choose to do it and erase a man blatantly out of the photo. They said it's quite rich coming from progressives who are now coming in and saying this is an example of fragile masculinity. That's what they're saying now for people that are against this ad. They're saying you have fragile masculinity syndrome now. You're too fragile and your masculinity is too fragile. You can't see somebody erase a man in a photo and not get irritated about it. But the irony about it is, if this was flipped, oh my gosh, if this was flipped and there was a photo of a man erasing a woman in the ad, there would have been all HE double sticks to pay from all these hardcore leftist feminists. You can't erase a woman. I mean, you already know what would happen with it. But what's crazy about this now is that we're seeing particularly men, especially white men, but men in general now, are constantly being portrayed as stupid, arrogant, in commercials all around the globe now, and it seems Apple is merely taking one more step by blatantly erasing them altogether in this ad, man.
You know, the other thing, too, man, they always try to make men wimpy. I could use another word, but I'm not going to use another word here. They make them wimpy. They're little, we'd call them little candy boys. They're, you know, whatever. And you think, well, why would they do that? Well, because, again, it's toxic masculinity. You know, the thing that they don't realize, and this absolutely blows my mind, is it's the toxic masculinity, because this is all ADL stuff. It's all ADL stuff. This is all pushed to the ADL. It's the toxic masculinity of the United States soldiers in World War II, which freed Europe from the clutches of the Nazis. Okay. And it's the same Nazis that the ADL has been hammering now for the last 70 years, how bad they were. But it's the same toxic masculinity that freed them from the Nazis that they're now hammering too. Now, why is that? Why do they do that? Well, it's about the cake. The cake. Yeah, it's about that cake baker out in Colorado. You know, I don't want to bake a cake for you guys. You're gay. I'm not going to put two guys kissing each other on the top of a cake, so we're just not going to do that. What do you mean you're not going to be a cake baker for us? We want you to be a cake baker. So the militant homosexual lobby groups got involved in the cake, and they took it all the way to the Supreme Court. Now, here's what's interesting about this is, it's not the fact that they didn't get their cake. It's the fact that they felt as though they were discriminated against by a person who owned their own business. And it was the fact that they were going to force their will on this person through bankruptcy, if need be, in order to prove a point. Now, you say, what are you talking about, Ted? Stay with me for a second. This is what they always do. This is what just happened in England. It ends up in the courts with the judges. And this is why it's so important that you have judges that are not raving lunatic liberals being appointed like Obama liked to do. You've got to put conservative judges in these positions, especially in these circuit courts, because if you don't, they start making these crazy rulings, and even on the Supreme Court. I mean, we've got all these liberals. I mean, we've got all of these. I mean, everybody knows that. Well, no, I'm not going to say it. We got multiple gay people on the court. Okay, way beyond the demographics of the United States. And we have multiple liberals on the court, you know, way beyond the demographics of the United States. And you kind of look back and you go, what were they thinking putting these nutbags on the court? Well, it was all part of the plan. It all started with Brandish back in World War I, with Woodrow Wilson being blackmailed to appoint this guy to the Supreme Court by Samuel Untermeyer. It's to get these liberal mindset people on the court to change the direction of the country. And that's why it's so important, guys, that we think about it. I mean, that's why every time I get a chance, and it says on my election paper, my ballot, it says, you know, do you want so-and-so judge removed? My response, if they're a liberal, is always yes. Yes, 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 yes. Why? You don't need people with power having lifetime positions, which it ends up being in some of these places. You know, you don't need that because you can't get rid of them. So you put an albatross on the court, you're stuck with that albatross for the rest of the albatross's life? What the heck? And it's almost impossible to get these guys out. So you got to be real careful in these appointments. And so when you have a chance, if you have that on your ballot, if you've got a liberal judge, maybe on a Supreme Court or whatever in your state, just get rid of them. Just say, yes, we want them removed. And, of course, they very rarely ever get removed because they have so many political things being pulling on parties, et cetera, et cetera. But at least you can try. By the way, Canadian scientists at the center of the Chinese bioespionage probe has been found dead in Africa. That's no big surprise here. They haven't even released his cause of death. Surprise, surprise. It seems that Dr. Plummer, had made a habit of getting the biological material he was working on stolen. As we found a report from 2009 in the Winnipeg Free Press that details the theft of 22 vials of biological material was confirmed by the director, Dr. Frank Plummer. The theft of 22 vials. Plummer allegedly alerted authorities to the missing material on the same day a former vaccine researcher was arrested by FBI agents after U.S. Customs discovered the vials stuffed in a glove box in the trunk of his car in the Manitoba, North Dakota border crossing. Some of the vials included genes from the deadly Ebola virus. Imagine that. The local scientists say the material was not infectious. Okay. Won't go there. But more than a week after the theft came to light, police said no one from the lab had reported the incident. Plummer said his researcher had signed a form declaring he did not steal anything from the lab and understood he was not allowed to. I've got to read that one over again. That one just, there you go. Plummer has said that the researcher signed the form declaring he did not steal anything from the lab and understood he was not allowed to do so. The National Lab does not conduct searches of staff when they exit the lab and does not routinely take inventory of the thousands of vials containing non-infectious biological substances. So what former Dr. Plummer is saying is, by the way, the researcher who knew if he didn't sign this paper was going to go to prison for the rest of his life signed the paper saying he didn't take anything. However, court documents allege that the former researcher stole the vials on his last day of work at the virology lab in January because he did not want to start his research over from the beginning when he entered into his next fellowship with the National Institutes of Health in the Biodefense Research Laboratory in Maryland. You know, it's all very curious. Now, a very strange turn of events. There was this renowned scientist, Frank Plummer, who received Saudi's SARS coronavirus sample and was working on coronavirus HIV vaccine I got to repeat this again. This guy, this plumber who's dead now, okay, who received the Saudi SARS coronavirus sample and was working on a coronavirus HIV vaccine, okay, in the Winnipeg-based Canadian lab where the virus was smuggled by the Chinese biowarfare agents and weaponized, as revealed in the Great Camel Media India investigation, has died in mysterious conditions. Okay, so the guy who's involved in all this now is dead. So, you know, dead men tell no tales. Frank Plummer was the key to the Chinese biological espionage case at the Winnipeg's National Microbiology Laboratory. You know, so here we go. This guy was in Kenya, where he was a keynote speaker for the annual meeting at the University of Nairobi's Collaborative Center for Research, Training in HIV and AIDS, which, by the way, like 99% of the people there in Nairobi have AIDS. Dr. Larry Gelman, who helped set up the meeting, said Plummer collapsed and was taken to the hospital in Nairobi, where he was pronounced DOA, dead on arrival. No confirmed cause of death has yet been released. Plummer was born and raised in Winnipeg, where he headed up the Canadian's National Microbiology Laboratory for years. So we have a strange situation here. The guy who's in the middle of this thing, as far as the loss of this material that could have been used to create a coronavirus with an HIV insert, is found dead. Drops dead. You know, so it's one of those deals that, again, we're going to have to take a look at this and say, all right, you know, no surprise here. Why would anybody think that, you know, this would have not happened if this guy really, really was involved? By the way, these locust swarms in Africa now are getting worse. The water that was basically pushed into the desert, again, through chemtrails and through geoengineering, has caused a massive locust swarm that is threatening, again, to wipe out Africa as far as food supplies. So, guys, it's one of those things. We've got to think through what's happening in Africa as a coordinated effort. We have to look at the potential of this to produce these types of plague conditions globally from different venues. I have a friend of mine, his name is Gene, and he said the other day, he said this very succinctly, he goes, why do we think they only have one virus to release? Why can't they release more than one virus? Or in this case, why can't they release, like, you know, a plague of locusts or a different virus that's going to attack different people around the country, around the world? You know, these guys are sick. They do whatever they want to do based upon how many people they can kill, it seems, and that's what their goal is, to reduce the population of the planet by 7.7 billion, from 7.5 billion to 500 billion. So it's some weird stuff. So there's a possibility that this could also end up being a multi-tiered approach. I mean, think about it for a second. All of these people on this corona plague ship that's in off the coast of Japan now, that's basically quarantined, they're all going to eventually have to go home. What kind of infectious diseases are they carrying? Are they going to be super spreaders? Who knows? No longer show symptoms but still shedding virus? Who knows? We've got some weird stuff happening right now globally. So that's what I say to you guys. I say to every show, take your D3K2, take your potassium iodine, and take your vitamin C. We've got all of these back in inventory at Health Masters, and you need to be loading up on them because, guys, there's no guarantee how long we'll be able to keep them in stock because, you know, we ran out a few weeks ago. We had to go to find different sources because we had no choice. We had no options. We had, you know, no product. And this is going to happen all over the world as this stuff continues to multiply and escalate. So let's just believe, God, this is going to stay out of the United States, and it's going to be more genome-specific over there in China, and that's what they did it for, not towards us. Not that I'm speaking anything negative over these people because this is a horrible tragedy as it is. But, guys, this is a major, major, major mess. What do you think, Oz?
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. And again, you know, with the whole thing that China came out with beginning of the week, that the official numbers now, their definition of infected to eliminate people who test positive but show no symptoms, I mean, that right there is clear cut that they're being shady. There's something going on behind the scenes. These so-called symptomless carriers essentially are no longer counted as infected. And, you know, they're saying they don't have enough test kits, blah, blah, blah. I mean, there's something going on over there. At the same time, I've said as well that they're using this as almost a textbook example of what happens when you have a tyrannical government out of control, where they could be also getting rid of dissenting people. You know, right now they're saying they're going door to door, Shanghai, door to door. And if you basically test positive or you have a fever, they forcibly extract you from your home. Now, how do we know that they're not going to houses of people that they've monitored online and people that they've basically watched their online activity? Because, you know, China does it. They monitor everything over there. And your social credit score has gotten too low now because you're talking about what's going on. You're talking about the communist government. You're talking about the virus. How do we know they're not using this as an excuse to basically pick up and eradicate any political dissidents under the guise of a quarantine order? Oh, I'm coming to your house. Oh, you have a fever. I don't have a fever. I feel fine. Nope, show's here. You got a fever. Sorry, bud. You're going with us now. But I don't want to go with you. I know where you guys are going. I don't want to go there. Oh, sorry. Too much. Don't worry about it. Just come on. Let's go. That could be what they're doing now as well, using this as an excuse. I mean, look what we saw in Hong Kong all last year. I mean, with the massive protests that were going on. That's all stopped now, guys. I mean, it's a ghost town over there. I mean, they were cutting down facial recognition cameras. I mean, they were having constant fights. And remember they had like two college campuses? They completely fortified, blocked in. I mean, shut it down. I mean, boarded everything up, blocked the entrances. We're only letting certain people in and out. Basically, full-blown protester staging grounds. All that was going on just a few months back in Hong Kong. Now, all of a sudden, this vaccine, either this virus gets released, and now they're going in and extracting people forcibly from their homes if they have a fever at all. Man, that's, you know, you hate to think that these individuals at the top are so diabolical. But they very well may be. And I mean, that was, you know, something I was telling one of my other buddies the other night, too. I said, the issue that we've run into in this country is that people have become so just relaxed and laissez-faire about what we're dealing with because we're constantly, you know, as Christians, we don't really think sadistically. We really think, you know, we believe, you know, we have to love people and so forth, and we do. And we don't realize that this group that we're going against, they don't share our same values and morals. In fact, it's quite the opposite. They're diametrically opposed to our values and morals. And they will lie to us, steal from us, cheat from us, rob from us, kill us at the very chance they can, and they have no remorse about it. They'll do it in a heartbeat. This is what we have to understand what we're coming up against right now. This is what we're seeing with, like I said yesterday at the end of the show, with what we're seeing in Virginia with these lawmakers. Gun owners have gotten so complacent because we're constantly just on that mild defense. Oh, no, you can't pass any more laws. We're not going to take it. Then they pass more laws. We're not going to let you pass any more laws. We're not going to take it again. Then they pass more laws and ban more stuff. Well, we're not going to deal with that. You don't do that again. We're going to put a line in the sand. Don't do it again. But they do it again. This is what they're doing. They're constantly on the offensive. I mean, think about how many pro-gun bills we've gotten. Think about it for a second. How many can you count up? How many pro-gun bills have we got since Donald Trump has basically gone in the office? That's big fat zero. That's big fat goose egg. That's zero. Zero, 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 zero. Every single time a legitimate pro-gun bill tries to get approved, it fails. I mean, we tried to have a federal basically removal of suppressors off the NFA list. You remember that? Oh, immediately we have a shooting like the day before at the baseball field. We're about to vote on it. No, then we get it back on the books. Oh, guess what? Then we miraculously have this shooting in Las Vegas with the bump fire stock with no suppressor used, and then Hillary Clinton comes out first thing and goes, oh, imagine if you'd had a suppressor. It would have been able to do more damage. Oh! And then they banned the Safe Hearing Act, which was blatantly going to pull for the first time since 1934 suppressors off the NFA registry. It was crucial. That you don't even hear about that bill anymore. It's kaput. And it was getting passed. They already said, the Senate even said, everybody who was on this, dude, we're passing this. This bill's very, very good. It's very, very real. It's very, very safe. It's going to help out Americans. A very good pro-gun bill. That's it. So understand, when we see these things happening, and we don't do anything, and we just sit back and pretend like it's not going to happen, or we put our heads in the sand, they're never going to do that, they're never going to do this, they're never going to jail you or take your license from you for talking about Jesus or not going along with the political correct ideology. No, they very well are. They're already doing it in the UK, and it's coming here next. So be awake, be alert, and also, by all means, be basically boisterous in your opinion. Don't be politically correct, guys. And again, I say that, I don't mean run around and be just belligerent with people and try to blatantly offend people because you want to be rude. I don't mean that at all. We're supposed to love one another, but at the same time as well, we're also supposed to speak the truth. We're not supposed to lie. And as far as I'm concerned, calling a cross-dressing man a woman when it's a blatantly cross-dressing man that wants to be a pervert and calling him a woman, that's lying to me. You're lying. You're lying to yourself. You're lying to society. And worse, you're lying in front of your kids. You're telling your kids that it's okay to lie. It's okay to make believe in real life and go ahead and call things what they are, what they're not. This is not something that's okay, and we cannot allow ourselves to go down this road any further, Dan.
You know, Austin, it's true. I mean, if we start calling boys girls and girls boys, and these kids are listening to us do it, they're going to get so confused they're not going to know what to believe anymore. It's just crazy that what people believe. But you're right that the political parties are going nuts on all of this. In fact, the report now is saying that the FBI is putting white nationalists and neo-Nazis on the same threat level as ISIS. Just thought I'd mention that to you. If this is under Donald Trump, now remember, this is on Obama. This is Trump. FBI Director Christopher Wray testified at a hearing that racially motivated extremism is as much of a threat to national security as ISIS, and he called it a national threat priority. This is Donald Trump's guy. He said, we're particularly focused on domestic terrorism, especially radically, racially or ethically motivated violent extremists. His announcements came just 2 weeks after the FBI arrested 8 members of the base, which was labeled a neo-Nazi group, but its leader was then exposed as a federal contractor, suspected federal agent. Critics believe the plots orchestrated by the FBI and the FBI and their informants are used to frighten the Americans into accepting more and more restrictions on their freedom in the name of fighting terrorism or racism or hate. Now, this is under Donald Trump's administration, guy. This isn't under Obama. 2020 Democratic candidates are trashing America as racist. It's so funny. All these white people on stage trashing America as racist. During the Democratic debate on Friday, each of the 2020 candidates condemned systemic racism and characterized America as an evil place with rot at its very foundations. The candidates include Bernie Sanders, you know, who's white, who said that America was a racist society from top to bottom. Pete Unterberg, who's so queer, it's unbelievable, it makes me want to puke, but he's also white. You know, then we have Pocahontas, Elizabeth Loony Liz, who's completely Looney Tunes, she's also very white. Joe Biden, who's the whitest of the bunch, who loves to grope people, and on and on and on and on. I mean, this is just unbelievable. He goes, Elizabeth Warren declared that we need a race conscious laws in education and employment and entrepreneurship to make the country a country for everybody. Yeah, well, why don't you talk about that, how you lied about being an Indian to get into Harvard. Why don't you talk about that first? Maybe they'll basically pay attention to you. Yale study, university studies using children's health records are now linking vaccines to mental disorders. Think about that, guys. In 2017, Yale University study using information from a health insurance claim database examined the correlation between specific vaccines and various neurological disorders in 6 to 15-year-old children, reported that patients diagnosed with neuropsychiatric disorders like obsessive-compulsive disorder and anorexia nervosa were more likely to have received vaccinations 3 months prior to their diagnosis. Absolutely no surprise here. And to tie back in with also talk about gun rights, the New York bill would require people to prove sanity before buying guns. In other words, they assume that you're insane when you want to buy a gun, so you have to prove that you're sane. I don't even know how you're supposed to do that. New York State Senator James Sanders proposed a new law requiring anyone seeking to purchase a firearm to complete a mental health evaluation first. Mental health professionals approved by the New York State Office of Mental Health would perform the evaluations. Failure to abide by the proposed law would result in a felony charge of criminal purchase or disposal of a weapon, which is punishable by up to 7 years in prison. So in other words, I guess if you don't want to comply with their rules, they consider you insane. Anyhow, they're not going to give you a gun. Yeah. Okay, this is getting weird. Hey, guys, I love you. Remember, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. You guys are awesome. I had the privilege and the opportunity to pray for you again today, and I always will. Thank you for your support. Please get your C, D, and your potassium iodine as quick as you can. I love you guys. Also, go ahead and finish up.
Absolutely. And remember what I said before. The only reason a government that has had a right ingrained in its society and in its population for the last, 250-plus years or whatever, only reason why they would want to take that right away from you after, you know, a quarter of a millennia is because they're afraid they're going to get shot for what they're about to do next. Just think about that. There's no other reason why this right has been ingrained and has been in the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, for this length of time, and it's never been an issue, never been a problem, never been questionable, and now all of a sudden they want to have you start getting approval for your mental health to buy a gun and start getting approval just to own one. Then they start telling you you can't own certain magazines. This is all gearing up for what we know is about to come next. So be prepared. Be awake, be alert, and again, always stay prepped. I continue to stress that on a regular basis because as a lot of my guys that I train with and we run around and stuff sometimes, know that you have to have a group of individuals. You have to have a group that you can basically rely on, you know, put it as they say, four-man fire team. You have to have that, even if it's just an emergency and you need help, you have to be able to make a couple calls, say, hey, boom, we got an issue, bam, hey, we got an issue, link up. And everybody needs to be able to come together and be prepped. You have to have a few people around you like that all the time, because if you have that, if something occurs, you're not on your own. The whole, you know, Rambo lone wolf thing, I mean, that's all good and great, but in reality, very few people can ever survive like that very long, you know, unless you're like a retired Green Beret and you did it for the last 20 years. In most cases, still, it's very difficult because at the end of the day, you never have somebody to watch your back. You're on your own all the time. So always try to have at least a couple good friends that you know, that you trust, that you shoot around, that you know if you get in an altercation with somebody, if you get in a pinch, you know they got your back and you're not going to get shot in the butt or something stupid because they don't know how to control themselves or proper, you know, muzzle sweeping everybody. So just a side note on that. And again, thank you for the support. The GHI Cleanse Vanilla, one product of the week, that's going to be up on sale here the next couple minutes. I'm going to be updating that on product of the week. So be sure to check that out on the website, healthmasters.com, GHI Cleanse Vanilla, product of the week, great product. I think I'm going to put it on sale for over 20% off. Had a lot of interest in that product. A lot of people want to try it. Big can of protein, great formula. So be on the website, healthmasters.com. If you need anything, please be sure to give us a call or email us, healthmasters.com, and call us at 1-800-726-1834. We're here to help you out the best we possibly can. Nutrition advice, some health advice, dietary advice, supplement advice, we're here to help. So again, thank you for the support. Sign up for our free weekly newsletter. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.